Okay, 18b3, all the way at the end. And the Mishnah said it then, chelitz v'chelitzin, that a Kohen Gadol could do chalitza, you know, if his brother had died and he has a wife without kids, chalitza could be done to a Kohen Gadol, right? Even though they spit in his face, well, not in his face, but they spit in front of him, it doesn't matter. By a king, he can't do it. By a Kohen Gadol, it doesn't matter. So the Gemara asks, Kaposik v'tani, you're making a general rule, leishnam in a edison, leishnam in a nesuin, whether it's from the Kedushin or from the Chuppah, because the din is like this. Yibum starts even from the edison. That means if somebody did Kedushin with the girl, and then the brother died, or he died, I'm sorry, he died, so the brother has to do Yibum or Chalitza. Even if you're not married yet, as long as it was Kedushin,
he marries her, and if he doesn't marry
her. He doesn't marry her, he does Kedushin with her. So whatever the process, or Yibum. The din is, if Reuven does Kedushin with Rachel, yeah? And then Reuven dies, so his brother has to either Yibum or Chalitza with Rachel. It doesn't matter if you're married or not. Even if once there was Kedushin, the din of Yibum applies. So the Gemara asks, there should be a difference between the Edison, between the Kedushin and the wedding. Why? I understand why a Kohen Gadol can do Chalitza.
When it's married. Because
why he could do Chalitza, not Yibum. Because Esev Eloi Sase. Because then it's a positive and a negative mitzvah. Meaning, there's a positive mitzvah, a Kohen Gadol has to marry a virgin. And there's a negative mitzvah, he can't marry a widow. So then, it makes sense, have an eser v'loi saseh, v'ein eser d'eich v'loi saseh v'eser. In other words, like this, there's a din, that a Kohen Gadol, what happens if the Kohen Gadol brother, what the Gemara is talking about now, it didn't matter either way, but this is what the Gemara is talking about now. A Kohen Gadol's brother did Kedushin with a woman, and then he died. So the Mishnah says he could do Yibum. I mean, he cannot do Yibum, but he could do Chalitza. Because the Kohen Gadol can marry a widow. So the Gemara says like this. Why is the Mishnah not saying there's a difference between the Kedushin and the wedding? Why? Because if it's from the wedding, I understand why a Kohen Gadol cannot do Chalitza, a Yibum. Why? Because once the brother's wife and the brother were married, number one, she becomes a widow. And she's not a virgin anymore. Okay? Right? So for a Kohen Gadol to marry that woman would be two sins. Number one, she's not a virgin. Number two, she's a widow. Correct? So then I understand the positive mitzvah of doing Yibum cannot push off a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah. Because there's a positive mitzvah that says he has to marry a virgin, which he's not. And there's a negative mitzvah, he can't marry a widow. So the mitzvah of Yibum cannot push off that double header.
Right.
Right? But if she's not married, if they only had Kedushin, so she's still a virgin. Mm-hmm. So the only thing is it's a negative commandment not to marry a widow. The positive mitzvah of Yibum should push off the negative commandment that you can't marry a widow. There's a din in Torah that a positive mitzvah pushes off a negative mitzvah. If by doing the positive mitzvah you transgress the negative mitzvah.
Yes, yes.
Otherwise you can't say, okay, I'll
do a
go daven eat chaser. I mean, it doesn't work. It has to be like I'll give you a classic example of Eser Deichalei. It's what's called Mila Betzaras. Okay? There's a positive mitzvah to do a bris. There's a negative mitzvah. If somebody has leprosy, you can't cut it off. That's a negative commitment in the Torah. You can't cut off leprosy. Now what happens if somebody needs a bris, and the leprosy is on the bris. And by cutting off the bris, you're cutting off the leprosy. So you're doing a positive mitzvah, but at the same time you're doing a negative aveda. So the positive mitzvah pushes off the negative mitzvah. Yeah? But a positive mitzvah can't push off a positive and a negative, even though you're doing it at the exact moment. Now, if the guy is married, the brother of the Kohen Gadol was married, right? And he died after the wedding, I understand why the Kohen Gadol cannot do Yibum. Because if the Kohen Gadol would marry this woman, Number one, she's not a virgin because they're married. Secondly, she's a widow. And the positive mitzvah of Yibum cannot push off a positive and a negative mitzvah. But if it's only from Kedushin, then she's still a virgin. So all the Kohen Gadol will be transgressing by doing Yibum is marrying a widow, but the positive mitzvah of Yibum should push off this negative commandment of not marrying a widow.
Well, what is Chalitza? Is the aser? I am ignorant about Yibum.
Chalitza is a positive mitzvah.
So why
we're talking now about here. We're talking about Yibum.
So why can he? Why can't we say he does Chalitza? And
but technically, would a Kohen Gadol be allowed to marry that girl?
No, when you do Chalitza, you don't marry.
No. Instead of doing Chalitza, why can't he marry her?
Yibum.
But the Mishnah says a Kohen Gadol cannot marry her.
Okay.
You can only do Chalitza, not Yibum. That's what the Mishnah said. You can only do Chalitza, not Yibum.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because he's not allowed to marry her.
Oh.
Correct? So Gemara says, I understand if it's the girl who's married, why the Kohen Gadol can't marry her? Because there's a positive and a negative mitzvah. She's not a virgin. And he's not allowed to marry a widow. So the positive mitzvah of Yibum doesn't push it off. But if it's from the Edison, only from the Kedushin, and then the din is it's only left with a negative mitzvah, because she's still a virgin. So the positive mitzvah, thank you, should push off the negative commandment.
Right. She's not a virgin, that's two negatives?
No, marrying a virgin is a positive.
But
it doesn't say in the Chumash a Kohen Gadol cannot marry it says he has to marry a virgin. That's a positive mitzvah.
If he doesn't, that's a negative.
No, it's not.
There's no negative. There's no law against not marrying.
No, because it's just a positive mitzvah.
And if he does marry,
what mean? You have to put on tefillin every day.
Yeah.
It's a positive and negative mitzvah.
Positive.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you transgress a negative mitzvah.
No, you don't do a positive.
Hello. You transgress the negative mitzvah?
You lost the positive mitzvah.
That's it. But you didn't transgress the negative mitzvah. By Kohen Gadol with a psula, it says, Isha Grusha Zayna V'chalala Lo Yikachu.
Living in sin, kind of.
But that's a positive, it's a difference. He's transgressing a positive mitzvah. Transgressing a positive mitzvah, yeah?
Great.
Is not a sin every time you do it.
There's no love against
once.
There's no love against not marrying a
Pesuda. Gemara's going to answer that about once. What?
There's no love against not marrying a Pesuda.
No. It says, V'hu isha b'psula yikach.
And if he did marry a not Pesuda?
Nothing.
So Kiddushin is fine. And the kids are not halal.
The kids are halal because they can't go. They can't marry an almana.
No, not almana.
A what?
A not Pesuda.
A what?
A Pesuda.
Oh, you mean not a married or not a widow, not a divorcee. A girl that had relations, yeah? Yeah, he'd be just transgressing the positive mitzvah. The kids would not be halal.
Because she would be zona. So
no, why? She was living with a Jew.
Why your Torah requires a brother married? What was the reason?
To rebuild the brother's home.
What if she lost it by riding a horse?
Okay, that's a whole separate issue.
But the widow is
the
difference.
Who says you lose it by the...
A lot of... it's possible. The Gemara says it's possible. No, it's true. It's not true.
It is.
The Gemara speaks about that.
Rabbeinu, the widow is a different story, right? Or a divorce.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Vein asa deichel eisasa v'asa. And therefore, it's understood why Kohen Gadol can't do yibum on a married woman because it's a positive and a negative. Elamin or Edison, but if it is only Edison... Right? And in the meaning, the Kohen Gadol only did Kedusha with his wife. He didn't marry her. Let the positive mitzvah of Yibum come and push off the negative commandment that he can't live with a widow. So Gemara says, Zeta biri shena to be a shnia. In other words, like this. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You test them in Aleph. We're 19A1.
Whereabouts?
All the way on top. Oh, 19. Next.
Oh, 19?
You test them in Aleph. 19A1. Or 19, all the way on top. So the Gemara's question is, so the Gemara answers like this. Gzeira b'yari she'na to b'yashinir. Why can't he? Because, you're right, the problem is, the mitzvah of Yibum is only the first intimacy.
What?
The mitzvah of Yibum is to be with her once. Then it's not the mitzvah anymore. It's now the problem like this. If the girl only had kedushin, so she's a virgin, so it's only a negative mitzvah not to marry an almana, correct? Mm-hmm. That's only good for the first time they're together. Because then he did the mitzvah.
The mitzvah has kids.
What if she doesn't?
No, but the mitzvah is once he did lived with her once, that's the mitzvah.
And then he can divorce her?
Yeah.
No, but then the problem is then she still has a din of a widow. The positive mitzvah of Yibum to push off the negative mitzvah of not marrying a widow is only valid the first time they're together. So what did Gemara say? Is he going to do Yibum divorce her? I mean,
so,
come on.
So he can't be
there.
He's not.
Right. That's what it says. Gzeira b'yarishayna oto b'yashniya. Because only, that's what Gemara says in Yevamot, only the first living with her is the mitzvah of Yibum. Therefore, once the first intimacy is done, then she stole a din of a widow. How can a kohen go to live with a widow? And it's not a mitzvah.
When he gets married, she's not a widow anymore. Why is she a widow?
Why isn't she a widow?
She's married.
She's not a widow anymore.
She was a widow. She's still a widow.
Why is she a widow? She's married.
One second.
That was the past story.
Can a kohen gadol marry divorcee because once she's married to him, she's not divorced anymore?
No, but in this situation, the aser docha lo aser.
No, because once he lived with her once, the mitzvah is over. Now there's no more positive mitzvah from him.
Fine.
But she's still a widow.
She's not. How could she be a widow?
A widow means a woman whose husband died. She could be married 10 times.
And she still remains a widow?
Yeah.
She doesn't lose her status of widow.
Let me ask you a question. A woman was married, got divorced.
Yeah.
Yeah. She remarried a different guy.
And she was Mrs. Smith, now she is Mrs.
Jones.
Goldsmith, whatever.
Yeah.
She's not divorced.
And then
anymore.
The second husband dies. A woman was divorced.
She's a married woman.
Then the second husband died. Correct?
Okay.
Okay, what is she now?
Widow.
Can a regular kohen marry her?
No. Yes, a regular, yes.
You can't marry.
She is a divorced woman who remarried and became a widow.
Why not?
She's divorced.
She has the
That's the problem with you.
She's married, dude. I mean.
But she still has a status of a divorcee.
It's all gone with.
It's not gone. What's gone? Gone with the wind. Not with this.
She killed two men.
Okay. Tanya Nami Hachi, 1 second. So we learned in the Braisa. In Kidmu Ubala Birishaina, if a Kohen Gadol Taka, the Braisa says clearly this then. If there was a Kohen Gadol's brother from who married a girl, not married, but Edison, Kedushin, and the Kohen Gadol went and lived with her once, the din is, Kanu, he acquires her in Yibum, becomes his wife, but also Lakaima be a Shania. He can't live with her again. He has to divorce her.
What if she becomes pregnant in that one?
Then it's fine. Then the kid's not the kid that first one was a mitzvah.
Right.
So the kid would be a kosher kid.
What if she doesn't become pregnant?
Yeah, how is he going to rebuild the brother's home? He has to rebuild the brother's
home. Yeah, but the Gemara in Yevamah turns out it's only the first time that does the mitzvah. That's it. Then the mitzvah is over.
Two relations, you don't know which one the baby came from.
Yeah, but it said he only had one.
Why is that considered rebuilding the brothers on just the first time?
Because there it says. Maybe she can have children because it's her problem.
Is the girl, then what happened?
It's not fair to the woman. That
nothing's
the
fair in life.
She's not even virgin. What? She lost her virginity on top of...
No.
And he lets her go.
No, she could. He divorces her and she can marry any other normal Jew.
But she lost her virginity in just one. Why? Why do that?
And what goes on today in the world?
No, he's right. Why don't you just do chalitza?
That's why the Mishnah says you do chalitza. That's why Taka the Mishnah says you don't do yibum. Why? Because it would only be good for one time, then it would have to divorce her. So the Gemara says it doesn't make sense to do yibum.
Okay, so does she have any saying in this here that you don't want to be...
No.
Or just like, let me understand, if she still carries the stain of having been...
Once you are divorced, you're divorced for life, even though you married 10 times and became widow.
So since she still carries it, why is it that in place of a mitzvah he could be with her just once?
Because the mitzvah says that it pushes off a leisasa.
So why do we consider her lack of virginity as a...
Because then it's a positive mitzvah and a negative mitzvah. And a positive mitzvah of Yibum cannot push off the positive mitzvah, and a negative mitzvah. A positive mitzvah can only push off a negative mitzvah. A positive can't push, and the fact is, a machlekes in the Rishonim, why not? If a positive mitzvah pushes off a negative mitzvah, but not a positive and a negative, is it because the positive cancels out the positive and you're just left with the negative? Or the second positive makes the first negative so strong that the positive mitzvah can't push it off?
It's two mitzvahs against one.
Yeah. Question? Okay, anyway.
A positive push off a positive?
No. No. Mess. Okay, then it says like this. If a Kohen Gadol, okay, this is going back to the Kohen Gadol. What the Mishnah said, the Machlekes between a man and the Chachamim, what happens if a Kohen Gadol's relative dies? Okay? So the Mishnah says like this. Mess. Okay? The mayor says he can't go out in a way that he sees the coffin. But if they hide, he can be seen. If when he hides, they can be seen. The Mishnah, the Gemara is dealing with the Mishnah. The Gemara is explaining the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, that according to the mayor, that the Kohen Gadol does go out of the Beis HaMikdash, but he can't be next to the coffin. No, he has to be completely out of sight, so to speak. And the mayor said, why? Because we're afraid he might touch the coffin, then it'll become tummy. Rabbi Yehuda says, he doesn't go out of the Mikdash at all. Min HaMikdash LeYetze, Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't go out at all. The mayor says he goes to the funeral, but he stays a lot distance away from the coffin. And Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't go out. So the Gemara says, Ton Rabbanon, Min HaMikdash LeYetze, says, the mayor says, this is the Bais explaining the mayor. Min HaMikdash LeYetze, L'Cheira, because the Basi does say he doesn't go out of the Beis HaMikdash. Why does the mayor say he does go out of the Beis HaMikdash, but just not close to the coffin? He says, Le'yetzi imohem. The pasuk means he does not go out with them, with the coffin. Aval le'yetzi mi'achareim, but he can go after them. Meaning, keitzad, hey nichnasim, when they go in, v'hu nigla, then when they're hiding, he sees himself, and when he sees himself, when they see themselves, he hides. Meaning, like we said in the Mishnah, that according to the mayor, he can't see the coffin, bottom line.
Why? If he's not with him for
the because Gemara says we're still afraid he's going to come and touch it. But he doesn't see it, out of sight is out of mind. V'yeitzi ad ha-Pesach, and then he goes with them until the entrance, right? Until the entrance, and then he leaves. Yeah? The mayor says, ha-Pesach shad ha-ir, he goes with them until the gate of the city. And then they go outside the city to bury them, and he goes back to the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah? The close family, right?
Yeah, yeah. Even close family. Even close family. So the Gemara, and Rabbi Yudis says, no. It says in the Pasuk, Min HaMikdash lo yaitze, he doesn't go out of the Beis HaMikdash. Period. So the Gemara asks, Shapir kamer Rabbi Yudis. Rabbi Yudis asks the mayor a good question. The Pasuk says he doesn't go out. Why does the mayor say it means he goes out, but not close to the coffin? The pasuk says, "Min Mikdash Lo Yaitze." Lo Yaitze means he shouldn't go out. Amalach Rav Meir. So the mayor says, "One minute, you tell me he can't even go home at night." The pasuk says, "Min Mikdash Lo Yaitze." He can't go out of the Kohen Gadol had a family. Yeah, he had a family, he had a house. He had to do things, obviously. So Gemara said, "Amalach Iachel Beisinami Loi." Maybe it means he should never go home, and that's obviously ridiculous to think that he can't. Okay? So therefore, what does it mean? Elohochi kamar. Min ha-migdash le-yetze. What does it mean, migdash? It doesn't mean migdash, the base of migdash. It means mikdushase le-yetze. He can't go out of his sanctity. He can't, meaning he can't come close to the coffin. Given the isle hakeda, once there's noticeable thing that when they're open, he's hidden, they're open, hidden, whatever it is, Layas and Migdal never come to touch it.
Can he use a different simon for himself?
No, there is what the Migdash, the Gemara says, yes.
He has to hide himself.
Yes. Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Rabbi Yehuda says, L'cheira, why can't Rabbi Yehuda hold that he could follow it, you know, and not touch it? So he says, Aga Merari, because of his grief, Dilma Mikrav Asinigah, he's going to come and touch it. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda just takes the next gzeira, huh? Technically, he can't go out, but we're afraid. The halach is, we're afraid he's going to touch it. And therefore, you know, it says, you know what, stay where you are in the base of Mikdash, don't go. But it doesn't mean, and as Rabbi Yehuda obviously also agrees, that Kohen Gadol could go home at night. Kohen Gadol didn't have, his apartment wasn't in the White House, I mean, he didn't live in the base of Mikdash. He had a home in Yerushalayim, he had to live. Right? So the only question is, by Tumah, the Torah Min HaMikdash LaYetzah, he said, the mayor says, he can go out, he can't just come close to the coffin. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we're afraid that he'll touch the coffin, therefore, you know what, he let him go out. Not go out at all. But to go home at night, that's not a problem. Okay, then the Mishnah says like this. And the Mishnah says, Kshu Menachem, when the Kohen Gadol comforts others, okay? So the Mishnah said again, a whole process what to do. The Mishnah says, Kshu Menachem Achedim, the Mishnah said like this, when he comforts others, the people pass in front of the mourners one after the other, and the appointed assistant Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol goes in the middle, and he's on the left between him and the people. That's what the Mishnah said, what the Kohen Gadol does. What?
If Kohen Gadol becomes Tamer accidentally, going home, there's a corpse on the road.
What?
Corpse.
Yeah.
He has to go through the Tara process.
Sure. And then who's
going to
replace him?
What?
Who's
going to
replace him?
So there's always this Skad Kohen Gadol. That's what one of the reasons they had on Yom Kippur. They always had an assistant Kohen Gadol in case the Kohen Gadol became Tama on Yom Kippur, the other guy would be able to fill in. But that was Bechlal, if the Kohen Gadol became Tama. Or he had relations with his wife, he also became Tama. I mean, at the time the Kohen Gadol became Tameh, so then he went to the mikvah, or if he became with a corpse, then he has to do the paraduma.
5 days.
A mess mitzvah Kohen Gadol does. What's happening Kohen Gadol walking in the street, and there's a dead body there, and there's nobody else to help him? What's called mess mitzvah. So Gemara says that Kohen Gadol could do it.
But then why
there's no paraduma? If there's no paraduma, there's no Beis HaMikdash.
Also, there was always.
Yeah, the base of Midrash was always a paradum.
Would he ever walk by himself outside, or would he always have like certain attendants around
him? Only when he walked for public things, then he walked out of respect. You have, associates. Kohen Gadol went home alone. I mean, after Yom Kippur, we say in the davening Yom Kippur, when he went home. When he went Shabese, everybody walked him home out of Simcha. But yeah, the Kohen Gadol walked. He went home. He went home at night. For public functions, like mourning other people, things like that. Then he had an assistant, because that's much respect for the Kohen Gadol. He has somebody with him. Okay, Don Rabban Lit. When a Kohen Gadol passes in the line, to comfort others, the way it used to be is the mourners would sit or stand, we can see now in the Gemara, and people would walk by and comfort them. That's the way it used to work. Yeah? So it says, when the Kohen Gadol went, the assistant Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol of Umashuach, the Kohen Gadol who passed away, not passed away, left the office, we're going to see in a second. Okay, I'll tell you what it said. If you see at the bottom, it says like this. When a Kohen Gadol is appointed, another Kohen is appointed as a deputy. We just said this before. If a Kohen Gadol develops a blemish that disqualifies him from performing, there's certain mumim that forbid a Kohen, yeah? So then, the deputy fills his position. Then when the Kohen Gadol is finished with his blemish, okay? So then that Kohen Gadol goes back to the office, but he's called Meshuach Sha'avad, he passed. Okay? Now, Kohen Gadol is now demeaning for him to be... What happens like this? When they make a Kohen Gadol, right, they have an assist. They appoint automatically, said it's gone. Okay? Now, if the Kohen Gadol gets a blemish that disqualifies him from being a Kohen Gadol for a while, so the assistant becomes a Kohen Gadol. Yeah? Now if the Kohen Gadol goes back to his status, kosher, so that deputy, what happens to him? So the din is like this. He can't go back to the regular Kohen job, because he was a Kohen Gadol, he was a Kohen Gadol for a month. It's below his dignity. The Torah says it's below his dignity to go back to regular Kohenim jobs. So he became Mashuach Sha'avar, meaning he was anointed Kohen Gadol, but he passed. The din was, he doesn't do anything, basically.
Is he still next in line?
Huh?
Is he still a man next in line?
Is he still Sagan Kohen also?
Well, when he's...
That Kohen had time.
No, so then what happened was... this what happened. Then you have a Sagan elected instead of him. In other words, like this. Because the Mishnah says, the Braisa says, Sagan u'mashuach sha'avar. The assistant Kohen Gadol and the Mashuach sha'avar. Who's Mashuach sha'avar? So Rashi explains this over here. What it means is like this. The Kohen Gadol has an assistant. A vice Kohen Gadol, yeah? Kohen Gadol becomes disqualified for a period of time. The vice becomes the Kohen Gadol. Correct? Now, when the Kohen Gadol goes back to the job, the vice is not the Kohen Gadol anymore, because the Kohen Gadol is back to the job. So the vice becomes non-vice. But because it's below his dignity to do the regular jobs of regular Kohen, he can't even be assistant anymore. Because the assistant did the jobs of a regular Kohen as a rule.
Until he was called
into office. So now, the vice, who became a Kohen Gadol, can't go back to become a vice, because the vice is lowered now. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they needed a new vice. They had to elect a new vice. So, that's the Sgan and the Mashuach. It didn't always happen, but in the case where there was a Mashuach, that's what happened.
There's one set of the garden, right?
Huh?
The clothing.
Well, some of them, yeah. But
so what did he end up doing? Nothing.
That's a yeah. Well,
after he lost his job.
So he was a Mashuach Sha'avar?
Mashuach Sha'avar.
So this is Sagan Kohan that became a Mashuach Sha'avar.
Right.
What if the clothing can he become a businessman?
Huh?
Can he become a businessman? A rabbi? He becomes like useless.
I don't know what he does. Whatever.
Is it below his dignity to do anything else but being a Kohen Gadol, or just the
no? He could do other. He could learn Torah. He could.
Can he do business?
Lahav the billions of avdolis. Yeah, we got just the popes. Yeah, the other pope went into
just retired.
Went home. Yeah. See, he's not a pope, and he's not a pope. But he can't be a regular guy. He has to go into seclusion.
Yes.
Love the billions of dollars, yeah? Because he can't become a regular cardinal, because that's a Yerida. And not a Chaliyah, because the whole thing's a Yerida. Anyway, so... Do you understand? So there, so...
The Begadim is one set of Begadim.
Yeah.
Can this person become a Kohen Gadol eventually?
Yeah, could be
reserved. Yeah, I mean, if the Kohen Gadol dies, maybe, yeah.
What if the second Kohen Gadol was a little guy and the first one was big and the clothing is too big? Are they allowed to cut it?
Yeah, they sew the clothing.
They're allowed to cut it?
Yeah. Okay.
Huh? Is he allowed to do anything?
Let's go further.
Allowed to do anything but being Kohen Gadol?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So if the Kohen, the vice that who became Kohen Gadol, he become Tamil.
He doesn't know anything. Kohen Gadol, it was only, he was a regular Kohen. They did all the jobs. He was just ready that in case something happened to the Kohen Gadol, he would fill in. But he was a regular Kohen. This guy, Kohen Gadol.
So he goes back to his service?
Yeah.
And Kohen Gadol is replacing?
No. Because what should Kohen Gadol be placed a regular Kohen for? If the assistant Kohen Gadol became Tameh, does he wait until he becomes non-Tameh? What?
Are you worried with the Kohen Gadol is appeasing the mourners or three mourners that they might transfer tumah to him? Are they able to transfer tumah to him?
If they were Tameh, he probably didn't touch. He didn't touch them.
But I'm saying just like before, you're worried that he might come.
And see, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash Bechlau, people didn't shake hands like they do today.
A hug.
No, because if the guy was Tameh, you became Tameh.
So nobody touched each other.
I'm saying
everybody knew if you were Tameh, the person would say, "I'm Tameh." Anita, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, wore special garments that everybody knew she was Anita. Because if a woman, let's say, went and shook Anita's hand, she couldn't eat the Beis Hamikdash. She couldn't go, she had to go to the mikveh. She couldn't go into the Beis Hamikdash.
Right.
Rabbi, in Iran, until a generation ago, women that were nida, they had special...
But today in America, you don't do that.
You know, it's so interesting, Rabbi, all this discussion about why do we do that? It's so interesting that you have such interest about the Sagat Kohan or Kohen.
Okay, tell me about it. So, even Beshur al Rachm, the Chabed, Chedim, okay, Skan and Meshur of your other Beminik. The Skan and the Meshur Shavar is in his right. Vedesh Beisav, the head of the Bezdin. I'm sorry, not Beisav. Beisav is, remember, every week there was the family that worked in the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a head of the head foreman of that group. Vavel and Vachola Am, Mismail, and everybody else would read to the left. Okay? Now,
That Am was a Levi?
Huh?
Levi?
No, a Kayin. Beisav of Kayin. Ukshayim beshurim misnachim meyachayim. What happens if a Kayin Gadol is in, until now it says when the Kayin Gadol comforts others. What happens when the Kayin Gadol is in mourning and people are coming to comfort him? Sgan miminei, the deputy Kayin Gadol is in his right. Veresh beisav a cholam mismelech. And everybody else is on the left. But if you notice, there's an omission here. The Meshuach Sha'avar is not mentioned. Right? It just says, Sgan Miminei, the assistant's on his right, and everybody else on the left. What happened to the Meshuach Sha'avar? Ava Meshuach Sha'avar Le'ase Gabei. The anointed Kohen Gadol does not come to comfort a Kohen Gadol. A living Kohen Gadol. Why? Chol Shadaitei. Because he's distressed, kasaver kachodali. It's Jewish business, Jewish politics. Even then, the assistant really wants to become Kohen Gadol. So when he comes to comfort the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol is going to think, oh, he wants me to die. He wants me to die also. Mourning, he thinks, reminds us of death. He says, "I want to die, that he should take over."
You don't want to distress him.
And therefore he's rejoicing at the stress that I have.
Talking about Kohen Gadol and Tzaddikim, you know.
Well, in the second Beis HaMikdash wasn't.
Yeah, but this is first.
Basically, the Gemara is saying that there's tension between the Kohen Gadol and the Sgan. And a Meshuach Sha'avar.
Is it next in line?
Yeah.
Oh, Meshuach Sha'avar is in the same.
Yeah.
Yes, it's next
thing. Even if Kohen Gadol has a son who's capable of becoming the
same one? He doesn't both
promise. No, it says if Kohen Gadol dies, the Gemara says in Yuma, then the Meshuach Sha'avar takes over.
Not the Sagan Kohen?
No.
Not
the son? How about the son?
Because he was already a Kohen Gadol.
These people are on a higher level. They shouldn't have yet to...
Not in second base of Mikdash. Not in second base of Mikdash.
I thought even in the first base to take over.
The son of the Kohen.
That's if there's no Meshuach Sha'avar.
Even in the first
big time, yeah. Listen, on their level, remember we learned they would make a Kohen Gadol can't sit in the bezin because maybe the mikveh is going to be cold,
yeah.
Or whatever.
Rabbi, how often in the first big time we go to the sun and go to the Sagan?
Doesn't say. It just says in the first Beis HaMikdash, I forgot, it says already, I don't remember how many. There were X amount of Kohen, I mean, you know how many Kohen Gadol there were. In second Beis HaMikdash, there was a lot.
Every year. Young people who learned, they cried because they thought the Kohen Gadol did something wrong, and then they cried because they thought he did something wrong. What part was that?
Yeah, when they would keep him up the night before Yom Kippur. Would say to him, don't fall asleep, you know, whatever. He would cry that they accused him, and he would cry that they accused him, whatever. Okay. Shema mino mehai masnita tlas. Amen apapa, the papa says. So from this braisa, we learn three things. Number one, hainu sgan, hainu memuna, that appointed deputy Kohen Gadol, and one appointed as an assistant Kohen Gadol is the same thing. Okay? Number two, Shema Mina Avelim Eindim V'chol Am Eivrim. From here also the Braisa says, even though it changed, but the Avelim would stand and everybody would walk by. Shema Mina Avelim Ismael Menachem Eim Eindim. that the Avelim would stand on the left side of the comforters. Okay? Because it says, because the Braisa says when the Kohen Gadol gets comforted, it says the Kohen Gadol is standing. That means the person who's getting comfort, now we're going to see later that they changed it and everybody sat. The mourners sit.
But
in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the Avelim, when they were comforted, stood.
As opposed to now.
Opposed to now that they sit.
Both? I thought the ones that they come Menachem, they stand.
No.
So you don't have to stand when you're Menachem
over now? No, everybody sits today. We'll see in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to say it changed.
At the house?
Yeah, at the house.
I thought people, they stand up. No.
It can't mean here in the cemetery because the Kohen Gadol never went to the cemetery. So it can't mean.
Oh.
There's Nicham Avelim. There's a mitzvah Nicham Avelim after the Levaya. There is Nicham Avelim at the Levaya when they make it the Shura.
Yeah.
The mourners walk through, but then you can't have a Kohen Gadol there. So obviously this is not at the cemetery. This is afterwards.
How come that law of not seeing the casket doesn't apply now?
We don't have a Kohen Gadol today.
No, a Kohen.
There's only a Kohen Gadol that did.
And there's too many.
I understand, but if a relative number one he could, it's not the same. Kohen Gadol was so strict that Chumar says we don't want him going out at all. Because we don't want him, even possibly, like Rabbi Yehuda said, he may, if it's grief, he might go and touch it. Here, Tanya Rabban Taka says, but Ishaina initially, Hayu Avelim Aimdim, that mourner stood, Ucholam Avrim, and they would all pass in front of them. So everybody stood. The mourner stood, and everybody walked by and comforted them. Then the Gemara says, Hayu Beis Mishpachas, Yerushalayim, is God of Subazu. There are two obviously prominent families in Yerushalayim, would always fight with each other. Zeisim Eres Ania Vedas Tchila, Zeisim Eres Ania Vedas Tchila. Each one would say, I want to be the first one to go. I want to go first. His skin of the made of takana, she aimed him, vavelim, avidim. So they said, you know what? Forget it. The mourners walk by and the comforters stand. Because the Jewish families fought who should go first. You know, it was an ego trip.
Oh.
So they made a takana, what?
Now it's like that in the cemetery.
That what?
That the mourners, they walk past. Nowadays.
No.
How is it?
Yeah,
done?
But you're not talking about the actual Levi, I don't think.
Talking about the house.
Yeah, the house, but no, in the cemetery.
Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. In the city of Tzipedi, Rabbi Yosi was in Tzipedi, he reinstituted the old style. That what? Sheavelim aimdim, v'chol am avrim. I guess in Yerushalayim only they fought, because Yerushalayim's, they're always fighting with the Jews. But in Tzipedi, he reinstituted that it goes back to the way it was. The mourners stand and everybody walks by. Amir Ami Barchama, the Amir Ami Barava, Hiskin Rabbi Yosi b'Tzipedi. It says like this. He instituted the number of takanas in Tzipedi, very interesting ones. Number one, he said that a woman is not allowed to walk in the street and her child behind her. The child has to be in front of her, where she could see him. Okay? Why? Rashi quotes the story that happens like this. There was once a woman walking in the street with a kid behind her, and they kidnapped the kid.
Oh, my.
And then they sent a message to the woman that the kid is in this house. So the woman came to the house to get her kid, and they raped her. It was all planned. So, because of that story, Rabbi Yosi and Tzipedi said, you know what? The kid always has to walk in front of the mother, rather than in back of the mother, because then the kid could become kidnapped. And the second thing he said, V'amir Rabbi Barabi, his kid Rabbi Yosi b'Tzipedi, when the women went into the outhouses, in the bathrooms, they should talk. between themselves. Why? That a man shouldn't walk in because of the problem of yichud.
But I thought that the halacha says at the time that somebody is in the bathroom, you are not supposed to talk.
That's why, even that's why in Tzipedi, in the outhouses, on the outskirts of the city, in the city it wouldn't be a problem because there's people always all over the place. Outhouses in the city. We very curious to be in a seclusion with two men. So, because of yichud, the Chacham said women should be talking with each other, then a man hears the voices and he won't go in.
That shouldn't be a problem.
As opposed to
the man talking.
You mean to talk? Yeah.
No, but there's a forbidden, otherwise men should not be talking with women.
Correct, that's what you're saying, but he instituted in Tzipra that they should. Ah.